The NCAA Women's Final Four is set to tip off in about 10 minutes at American Airlines Center in Dallas. Tonight's doubleheader starts off with Stanford in South Carolina. Later tonight, Connecticut squares off against Mississippi State. KEI's Gus Contreras breaks down the matchups.
There's no doubt that the road to the national championship is through the UConn Huskies. They've simply dominated the past decade of women's college hoops. They've won 111 games in a row. They're after their fifth straight national title, so it's going to have to be an uphill climb for their opponent, Mississippi State, especially considering what happened last year. Mississippi State was blown out of the tournament by the Huskies.
When you get beat 60, it's embarrassing.
That's Mississippi State coach Vic Schaefer.
It was a humbling, embarrassing experience for all of us. And so, you know, but I think that's the big thing you learn is the speed of the game when you're playing them. And let me tell you, this team is no different.
The Mississippi State Bulldogs turned things around this season after Schaefer benched four starters. The change dramatically improved their offense, and UConn coach Gina Auriemma is aware they're not the same team.
But if you can't score and score when you have to, on demand, in this tournament, it's really, really hard to win. Really hard to win. And they've done a great job in the tournament of scoring, and that's why they're in the Final Four.
The winner of that game takes on the winner of Stanford and South Carolina. This matchup is a battle of the coaches. South Carolina's coach Dawn Staley has a history with Stanford's Tara Vanderveer. They won a gold medal at the 1996 Olympics. Vanderveer was Staley's coach. Since Staley became South Carolina's coach, she's had six chances to beat her mentor, but hasn't been able to.
I feel like from my experiences with her, she taught me how to approach the game, how to approach pressure situations, and how to execute while being under that amount of pressure.
And the feeling seems mutual, despite the lopsided record between the two. Here's Vanderveer talking with reporters.
I always have respected Dawn's competitiveness, her work ethic, her absolute passion for the game of basketball. If she tells you she beat me in chess, she's a liar. I love Dawn, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm not surprised at all.
This time around, it's Staley's team that is considered stronger and better offensively. This might be the time she beats her mentor. But no matter who wins, they're going to have to face the 800-pound gorilla, in this case, the UConn Huskies. Gus Contreras, KERA News.
There's a lot of talk about building a border wall between Texas and Mexico. The Texas Tribune looks at life along the border in a documentary called Beyond the Wall. It airs tonight at 7:30 on KERA-TV. The documentary includes interviews with undocumented immigrants, Border Patrol agents, and a borderland rancher. Roberto Escobar has been ranching along the Rio Grande his entire life, and smugglers have used his land for years to move people. Escobar told the Texas Tribune he doesn't see that changing anytime soon.
It's mainly the disturbances at night, early hours in the morning. That's when they do their stuff, waking you up because you hear these sounds, or the dogs are constantly barking. So you get up to see what's going on, you know. I stop fixing gates. Those main gates, as you come in, I don't close them. What for? They ram into them. So what do you do? Do I run to the police and tell them, hey, go catch them, they're there? Then what happens? What do you think will happen next? They're going to know who did it. I wouldn't put it past them to go and do some harm to me the following day or next week or the following week. So we just, you know what, let them be.
We had to briefly stop the interview with him while two coyotes, slang for smugglers, moved a load of undocumented Mexican workers over his ranch.
You just have to swallow your pride, sort of, and say, okay, well, you know what, just don't bother us and we'll leave you alone. Because at that moment, they're going to come and catch them. But then I have to live here the rest of my life like my ancestors lived here all their life. Police is not going to come and stay with me and take care of me. And it's not just me. I mean, it happens to all of us all up and down the border here. It sounds not too brave, but what do you do? You got to survive.
Beyond the Wall, a Texas Tribune documentary airs tonight at 7:30 on KERA-TV. The grassroots art scene in Fort Worth is definitely growing, and groups are exploring different ways to keep it growing. One of these is a hybrid gallery community center museum. It's called Fort Works Art, and it opened a new space last year. For this week's State of the Arts, Jerome Winks asks owner Lauren Childs what she hopes to accomplish with it.
Lauren Childs, welcome.
Thank you.
You started Fort Works Art in 2014, and you were originally in a space of the South Side called the Tilt Room, most famously known now as where Leon Bridges recorded his first album.
Yes.
But in 2016, you opened a more traditional gallery space pretty much down the street from the Amon Carter and the Museum of Science and History. Why the change from this multi-use event space to a bricks and mortar gallery?
Well, when I co-founded the gallery space with J.W. Wilson in 2014, we were only producing 2 to 3 events a year on gallery night in Fort Worth. And then I really wanted to get full throttle and go month to month and have show after show. And so we needed a full-time space. And we really liked working over by the museums.
You've described Fort Works Art as, quote, existing somewhere between a gallery, a cultural center, and a museum, unquote. Why? Why did you want to create a hybrid like that?
I think I'm very ambitious, and I see that there's a lot of opportunity in the city of Fort Worth to really grow, and we can utilize all three of those aspects to grow our space.
Back with the Tilt Room, you were known for your gallery night shows because they were more than just paintings on a wall. You included fashion shows, live music, spoken word. Is this a continuation of that?
It's more of an evolution, I think. We're still doing the event-based things with music. However, we'd like to get into a lot more educational outreach programs and sponsorship and mentorship for artists to grow and stay here.
It's easy enough to understand the straight-up gallery aspect in terms of exhibitions. Your current exhibition, 28 Grams, for example. But as a cultural center, how does that work?
How that works is really facilitating a conversation between us and the community of Fort Worth and bringing in a lot of organizations such as the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation, which we just brought in, to do projects and utilize our space.
What did the Juvenile Diabetes Group do?
They painted benches. They had all these kids come in and they painted these beautiful benches that they were placing in one of their facilities. And it was a wonderful day.
And you started the Betsy Price competition.
Well, the Betsy Price event is kind of where everything started. It's our high school annual art competition, and it is an exhibition where local high school students get to showcase their work for 2 to 4 weeks in a gallery space.
Okay, so it's like a gallery, like a community center, but how is Fort Works Art like a museum?
A museum in the sense that we're doing these really ambitious, large-scale exhibitions that include artists from all over the world, some of which are, you know, take a very long time to court to get into our space.
Are you going to create a permanent collection?
We have started a little bit of one. We ended up having a residency last year with Dan Lamb. At that point, we were able to acquire some pieces of hers, and that's kind of continued. So yes, ideally, we'll build a collection slowly.
So why did you think the Fort Worth art scene needed something like this?
I've lived in Fort Worth my whole life, and it's always been a great city for culture. But when I was younger, the question was, how soon can I move out of Fort Worth to pursue my life as an artist? And now you see this influx of artists in the area who are working and living, and there's just a tremendous kind of camaraderie there. And so to foster that and allow that to continue to grow and to extend some artist residencies and more opportunities for local artists is a very exciting thing for me to think about doing.
Lauren Childs, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
How are new arts groups providing ladders for emerging artists? That's a topic for the next State of the Arts discussion. Join KEI's Jerome Weeks on April 7th at the Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth. Learn more at artandseek.org. Should be mostly clear skies, low around 59 later on this evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers with a high near 80. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy skies, 60% chance for storms with low around 63. It's currently 84 degrees in Dallas, 83 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.